Well, the Lord be with you. I'd like to welcome each and every one here today, guests and visitors. We're glad you could come out and be with us today and worship with us here in this season of Lent. Several announcements and concerns, if you will. We want to thank Sharon Sapp for playing for Jana today. Never miss a beat. Sharon always does a great job, and we appreciate her doing that and filling in. Also, we do have our Communion, Bible study, and prayer tomorrow, 10:30 in the morning, 7 o'clock in the evening, over in the Saints and Sinners class. And if it's real warm, we'll go down to the Cornerstone class if weather permits. The Lenten Bible study, again, don't forget that. Every Wednesday through Lent, 6:30 is the Bible study, 6 o'clock is the meal over in the Fellowship Hall. Hope you'll come over. We are discussing why Jesus had to die. And I know Pastor Ken Reed was here this week. I think Pastor Randy Drafts from Faith Lutheran will be here this week giving the message. So we appreciate that. Again, don't forget about our blog, our Common Sense Theology blog. We just put out another one on the Sixth Commandment. Hope you'll check those out. Please share them. The more views we get, the more we're able to get the message of the gospel out to other folks. Our friends over at Rock Grove United Methodist Church are going to have a Southern Gospel sing. This Friday, the 29th, 7 o'clock, with a gentleman by the name of Brian Birchfield. So if you enjoy Southern Gospel, you'd like to go out, go on over to, and support them over at Rock Grove, if you would. The Sweet Potato Queens are going to have a meal here this Saturday, March the 30th, 4 to 7. Going to do the noodles and everything, always a good time. And they are trying to raise money for this Comprehensive Cancer Center up at Northeast Medical. We could really use that in this area. So God bless y'all's endeavors, and we hope you do very well with that. And I know you'll have a good time. So going to have the chicken noodles, all the trimmings. If you don't like that, they got some hot dogs and things. So come on out and support that. Don't forget about our Easter egg hunt coming up. We need people to sign up for that, if you would, to help and to do things for that. Also, the geraniums can be ordered in the bulletin. You can place that in the offering tray, if you'd like. You can order them today and get those in for Easter. Also, our sympathies expressed to Angie Josie and Alan Coleman and their family upon the death of their father, Jim Coleman. And Jim passed away this past Tuesday, March the 19th. So please be sure to give them your sympathies and well wishes for the future. Also, March the 31st, that is this next Sunday, we will have a combined adult Sunday school class over in the Fellowship Hall, so hope you'll come out and join us there. Anything maybe we missed? Don't want to miss anything. Don't want to miss anything at all. All right, then let's all stand as we're able for our confession and our forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Oh, that the Lord would guide my
Please be seated if you would. One thing I did forget to mention as the children come forward for the children's message is we have a lot of folks on a prayer concerns list. Please remember Mr. Larry Brown. Also, understand that Jimmy Morgan needs our prayers. And again, we have a lot of folks on there, but those are just a few that stick out in my mind right now. So please remember those folks in your prayers and all those on our prayer concerns list.
Morning. How are y'all doing? You good? Good. Good morning, everybody. Y'all doing good today? Good. That's good. I'm glad. Okay, this morning I'm going to talk about one of the words that we hear a lot, but we don't really know what it means sometimes. Sometimes I even have trouble knowing what it means, and a lot of our readings today are talking about this, and it's this little phrase on the front of our bulletins today. It is, God is faithful. Does anybody know what faithful means? No? Faithful is something that God is that we have trouble doing ourselves, because faithful means that we're always loyal, that we don't change, but we change a lot, right? And so when it talks about God being faithful, most of the time what it's talking about is that God gives us his promises for good things and for our life with him forever, and then sometimes it gets tough to believe that, but we say God is faithful because that means he keeps his promises. Isn't that a good thing? And so what we need to do, sometimes we make a mistake and we think when we talk about how God is faithful, we think that it means God is faithful, so I'm going to get whatever I want. But we can't make it mean that, right? Because God is faithful has to mean something about God, because we're talking about him, not about us. Because we have trouble being faithful, right? Sometimes we have trouble keeping our promises and things like that. But he never does. So whenever we talk about how God is faithful, we just need to remember to focus on him, because what we're really talking about is how he never changes and how he's always loyal to keep his promises, and he promises us a lot of good things. And whenever it feels like life is getting really hard or tough, we just remember that God is faithful. Does that sound good? All right. Let's pray, and you can get a sucker and go to Children's Church, okay? Dear Lord, we thank you for being faithful. We thank you that we are the ones that get some really good things because of your faithfulness, but we ask that you remind us that your faithfulness is more about you and who you are than the good things that we get. In your name we pray, amen. All right, y'all can get a sucker. Please stand if you're able. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God, consider the worthy desires of your humble servants. Reach out to defend us from evil by the word and work of your majestic right hand. Grant this, we pray, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Please pass the peace to several folks, if you would. Peace be with you. Well, Nelson said he runs out before I get up there. Peace. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. I need some peace. Peace be with you, young man.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you, man. Peace be with you. Nature, peace be with you. Peace be with you, my friend. Peace be with you. Peace be with you, Jerry. Many blessings. Peace be with you. Glad to have you, Dave. Glad to have you. Lisa, the peace be with you, my friend. Dale, peace be with you, my friend. Well, we're here. I'm here. I'm getting better. Hey, Kathy.
Since I'm not here, would you be able to do the sermon?
Do the sermon.
Would you be able to record it?
Yeah.
Yeah, can you record it? About time. Okay. What is it, mace? Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you, my brother. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you all. Jordan, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Derek, peace be with you. Tim, peace be with you, my friend. Peace be with you, my friend.
Yes.
Paulie, good to see you, buddy. Peace, you feeling a little better?
Richard got me last Sunday.
We'll keep praying for you. Good to see you, my friend. Peace be with you. Well, not yet, but we're getting there. I don't know about that. Peace be with y'all. Peace be with you, Pastor. Hey, see if you can straighten this bunch up down through here or something. Peace be with you. Hey, you better stay away. I heard it's going to be a good sermon. You come on up. Peace be with you, Pastor.
Good morning. The first reading today comes from the 33rd chapter of Ezekiel. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. And you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus have you said, surely our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we rot away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? And you, son of man, say to your people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him when he transgresses. And as for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall by it when he turns from his wickedness. And the righteous shall not be able to live by his righteousness when he sins. Though I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, yet if he trusts in his righteousness and does injustice, none of his righteous deeds shall be remembered. But in his injustice that he has done, he shall die. Again, though I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, yet if he turns from his sin and does what is just and right, if the wicked restores the pledge, gives back what he has taken by robbery, and walks in the statutes of life, not doing injustice, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of the sins that he has committed shall be remembered against him. He has done what is just and right. He shall surely live. Yet your people say, the way of the Lord is not just, when it is their own way that is not just. When the righteous turns from his righteousness and does injustice, he shall die for it. And when the wicked turns from his wickedness and does what is just and right, he shall live by this. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. O house of Israel, I will judge each of you according to his ways. Here ends the first reading. Let us read responsibly Psalm 85. You have been gracious to your land, O Lord, and have restored the good fortune of Jacob. You have withdrawn all your fury and turned yourself from your wrathful indignation. Will you be displeased with us forever? Will you prolong your anger from age to age? Show us your mercy, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Truly his salvation is very near to those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Truth shall spring up from the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Righteousness shall go before him, and peace shall be a pathway for his feet. The second reading comes from the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians. For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality. As some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Here ends the second reading.
Now the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. There were some present at that very time who told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, Look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? And he answered him, Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down. This is the gospel of the Lord. Word of prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We pray that you might open each and every heart and mind here today. You might give me words that are pleasing unto you. And God, we do pray that you would help us to grow in you and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. For those of you that have been in Bible study and in my Sunday school class, this will sound familiar. This is going to be a little bit of a kind of a rehearsal again, if you will, or a little bit of redress. But this is a gospel and a text that we definitely need to understand and to look at. Jesus here is talking about calamity falling upon people very suddenly. We have seen calamity in our own nation many, many times. We go back and we think of perhaps September 11th, 2001. A great calamity fell upon our nation as we were attacked. Nobody expected this. This was just a normal day up until the horrid events that happened. We've also seen other events. There have been floods, there have been famines, fires. Very recently, the tornadoes in Alabama that killed 20-some folks who were just minding their own business, going about their daily tasks, and this terrible and horrible tragedy happened to them. Right now, out in the heartland in Nebraska and in other areas, there is a great flood that is happening. And it's just a horrible and a terrible thing. And Jesus is trying to tell us that calamity will fall upon people from time to time. We've had calamities here. We've had car accidents. We have had others who have come down with various ailments. We have also had floodwaters. We have had heavy rains. We've had tornadoes in this area. But we are not immune to these types of things. They happen. And this is something that we in seminary, when they discussed it, it was called radical evil. And that just means that bad things are happening for no reason at all. Now, there is a type of suffering that is brought on. And that is not what we are talking about today. For example, if you rob a bank and they arrest you, you are going to prison. And prison is not going to be fun for those who have committed a crime that would send them to prison. You have brought suffering up on yourself. It is merited, well merited, if you do something of that nature. If you murder, rape, we could go through any number of things that would be merited suffering that you would bring up on yourself. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. He is talking about unmerited suffering. Things that happen and there is no rhyme, no reason that these things should happen. It's just that they do. Suffering happens. And Jesus is telling us here that there is not a reason that they happen. He tells us that it's not because these people were big sinners. He says, no, that's not why this happened. This is not why Pilate killed these people and then mingled their blood with the sacrifices on the altar, a desecration of the temple, the sacrifice, a desecration of them to God, to everything. It was a horrible, horrible thing that Pilate did. And these people were no worse than anybody else, is what Jesus is saying. No, they weren't great sinners, no worse than anybody else, but it happened to them. Jesus is also talking about the 18 souls who this tower they were building happened to fall during the construction process, and these 18 people were killed as this great tower fell during the construction process. And Jesus says, do you think they were any worse than anybody else? And he says, no. Now you see, all too often what we do in our society is we think we have to come up with an excuse of why bad things happen. Well, God is punishing them, obviously. That's why this happened? Jesus says no. Well, they were sinners. Jesus says no. Well, Jesus, aren't you teaching them something? No. God's not trying to teach you something. Now, that may be an after effect of something bad happening to you. Yeah, you may learn a lesson. You may learn something. But that's not what Jesus is saying is happening here. He says these things happen for no reason. You're not being punished for your sins. You're not being taught a lesson. It's not God is testing you. We could go back and look at Job about that, but that kind of, we can't take that story and take it out of its context. You see, that's kind of ungodlike, God using people in this cosmic game of whack-a-mole, if you like. Now, that's not what God is doing. Jesus says things happen. They just happen. And he says, unless you repent, unless you begin to look at yourself, he said the same thing can happen to you. You see, bad things could happen to you and I. Don't want them to happen. God doesn't desire them to happen, but bad things happen. That is just the way the world works. There will be car accidents, unfortunately. There will be fires of homes, unfortunately. There will be people who have different things happen to them. And it's not because they're bad people. It's not because God is punishing them or teaching them a lesson or he's testing them or he's trying to make them stronger. Again, you might get stronger and you might learn a lesson going through some testing, but God is not doing it to you. He says things just happen. Things just happen. Bad things happen to good people. It's one of the great questions we always have. Why do bad things happen to good people or bad things happen at all? I don't know about you, but I have seen so many people who were decent, good, honest people. I'm not saying they're perfect now. Please don't misunderstand. They're sinners just like you and I. They're people who were saved by the grace of Jesus Christ just as you and I. No different than anybody here. And something bad falls upon them. Something horrible happens to them. Think about the people who were on those airplanes on that fateful day in 2001 on September 11th. Do you think all those people on those airplanes were big sinners? I don't. Do you think they were evil people? No, there might have been a few evil people. I don't know. More than likely, most of those people, all they were doing was going about their business. Maybe it was a business trip. Maybe they were visiting somewhere. Maybe they were going on a well-deserved vacation to somewhere. And this horrible, terrible thing happens. God says, it just happened. Do you think the folks who were caught in a certain section of those buildings as they were burning, as they were getting ready to fall, that those people, the people who got out, they were the good people, right? And the people who perished on those certain floors, they were the bad people, right? No, Jesus says no. Bad things happen. And he says calamities can fall upon any one of us at any time. This is why we need to be strong in Christ. This is why we need to, at this time of Lent, and I am going to keep this up the rest of Lent, this is why we need to look inwardly. This is why we need to repent. This is why we need to see what we are in Christ. Are we who Christ wants us to be? I'm counting me too. You got a finger out there, trust me, you got a bunch pointed back at yourself. Am I what God wants me to be? That's what I've got to do during this time. And I find myself lacking in many ways. And I think if we're all honest, we'll find ourselves lacking. Calamity can come upon each and every one of us. And don't be blaming God when it happens. Because bad things happen all of the time. Do you think that the folks who were murdered by the millions during the Holocaust, that they were all just evil people? They did nothing other than being born Jewish. That is all they did. That was their great sin in this world. And because some madman or a couple madmen in a mad system decided that these people need to be done away with, that was their only crime. You see, evil can come upon anybody. Nobody is immune. Not a one of us is immune. It can happen, and we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared in Jesus Christ. We need to be strong in Him. Our faith needs to be in Jesus Christ. You see, all this prosperity and word of faith stuff, go over to Ethiopia and see how it preaches there. Try it there. Ain't going to work. Go to Tanzania, where they are killing Christians by the bushels, and see how it works there. Doesn't work. Yeah, this is kind of a morbid subject, but I want you to be prepared. I want God to be strong in you. I want your faith, the Spirit of God, to just overflow in you, that when calamity does come, that you are prepared, that you are able to stand with Christ and go through anything that happens. Now, let's get to the good part of the story. You say, well, there can't be any good part to that. There is a good part. Jesus dying up on the cross, suffering. All the folks we have discussed suffered, and they suffered greatly. Jesus suffered greatly. But here is one great lesson to take from all of this morbid suffering. Suffering does not have to destroy you. I want you to understand that. Suffering does not have to destroy you. It did not destroy Jesus. It only brought forth the great promises of eternal life and resurrection hope. Suffering does not have to destroy you. And because Jesus suffered, because Jesus went through it, you and I can go through it with His help. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Anytime that calamity comes, it does not have to be your end. It can actually be a new beginning. It can actually, maybe it will strengthen you. Maybe you will learn a lesson, but that's not why God does it. Again, that is not what He is doing. That's not His intent. Sometimes suffering happens in this world because of us, because of our human frailty. And Jesus is teaching us that we are frail. We're not 10 foot tall and bulletproof, unfortunately. We're frail humans. And when calamity comes, it can take life. It can destroy life. But again, through Christ, you can endure suffering. You can see it to the other side because Christ goes with you. He has already suffered and gone through these things for you and me. And I pray today that as we continue through this Lenten journey, that the Spirit of God might minister to you, that you would grow in Christ during this Lenten season, because there's great joy that's coming. It's coming. Great joy that is coming on Easter Day. Right now is a time to look inward, time to repent, time to do that inventory of who and what we are. It's a time to be serious and to understand how frail and fragile this human life is, but also knowing that God is there, just like with this tree that was planted. Jesus is the gardener who says, let's give this tree another chance. Let's be merciful to this tree, because who knows what the tree might do next year. And you see, Jesus is with us. Jesus is merciful. He is gracious. And perhaps God has kept us many times from calamities that could have fell upon us. We don't know what could have happened. Maybe we'll never know till we get to see Christ. But I pray today you will grow in Jesus. You will become stronger each and every day, that your faith will increase. Jesus Christ, understanding that He is your strength. He is your all and your all. And you can do nothing without Him, but you can do all things through Him. Amen. Thank you.
now let us confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for being faithful. We thank you for who you are and that you can't fail and that you desire to be faithful to us so we can always trust your promises. We thank you for showing us your love and proving it to us over and over, especially with your greatest proof, sending your Son to die for us and give us eternal life with you. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we ask for peace when calamity comes into our lives. Remind us that you tell us these things will happen, but that you will never leave us or forsake us in our suffering because you are faithful. Guide us in this life and bring us to the eternal peace and rest with you. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, we remember all of those on our prayer list who are sick and suffering. Bring healing and strength and peace according to your perfect wisdom. And use us as your hands and feet to minister to our neighbors. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God, we ask for guidance here at this church body at Oregon Lutheran Church. Help us to look inward this Lenten season and help us to see our faults and our failures by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, stir up in us zeal for your law and stir up in us thankfulness that you have delivered us from the punishment that we would get because of the law had it not been for the blood of Christ which covers us because of your great love. And we ask all these things through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you.
Now go in peace, serve the Lord.